من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين.
I gave my word with heart and head to praise Allah till I drop dead. Send blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and respect the scholar's ijtihad. For if a scholar makes ijtihad and gets it wrong, he gets one reward. But if he gets it right, he gets two rewards. Welcome to Outlining Fiqh. We have with us here today Sheikh Abu Toba and several students of fiqh from around the world. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
كيف حالك شيخ؟
لا بأس، الحمد لله رب العالمين. كيف حالكم؟ How are you doing?
الحمد لله, I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
الحمد لله. أيوة الحمد لله. Let's get started. Let's jump right in there.
Okay. We are in A Summary of Islamic Jurisprudence by Sheikh Saleh Fawzan. And this is Unit 6, Chapter 4. And if you're in the PDF file of the English translation, the page number is 384. But if you're in the printed book, then it will be 367. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The chapter is entitled Equivalence in Marriage. The two spouses must be equivalent in four things. 1. Religiousness. A defiantly disobedient or a corrupt person is not a suitable match for a chaste, virtuous woman. This is because the testimony or report of such a person is rejected, which is considered a sign of inferiority. 2. Freedom. A slave or a slave who is partially free due to his agreement with his master to be fully free after the payment of a certain amount of money or after his master's death is not a suitable match for a free woman, as the former is inferior due to slavery. 3. Profession. One of a lowly profession, such as a cupper or a weaver, is not a suitable match for a daughter of one in a high profession, such as a merchant or a businessman. 4. Solvency. The groom should be solvent enough to afford the dowry and marriage expenses. That is, an insolvent man is not a suitable match for a prosperous woman, as this causes her harm owing to his inability to meet her due expenses. Accordingly.
Okay, so here you see here, he mentioned what some would call like a caste system. So the term we have in Arabic is the Islamic term is called kufuwa, and we should never break away from the Islamic Arabic terms, because that's when people are going to start playing games with the deen and, you know, revising Islam. And this is what the goal is with, you know, dropping the Islamic term. Because when you just make up another term then you can start revising Islam and redefining what that means. Kufuwa is that they are kafin, they are sufficient for one another. Okay, and so there's a balance there. A woman should be paired with a man who is equal or in a higher status than she is. And that is because he is going to be her superior. Okay? And so he has to, at least on a social scale, economic scale, you know, deen scale, equate her. If he's inferior to her, then he cannot be her superior. And this is what is meant here in all these different cases. And in Arab societies, they've always looked down upon those artisans. The artisan class, which is like the weavers and the cuppers and those types of things, have always been considered of a lesser status than the serious businessmen. Okay? And, you know, it's not that something we can agree or disagree with. This is just the way things are. So that this, the caste system also looks down on those who come from that in comparison to someone who's a businessman and or in the military, okay? Meaning part of the government. Continue.
Naam. Accordingly, if the condition of any of the two spouses is different from that of the other, with regard to any of the above-mentioned four matters, equivalence is violated. However, this does not affect the validity of marriage, as kufuwa is not a condition for its validity.
To illustrate, so what they mean by this is, by what they mean by kufuwa not being a condition for validity, is like we said in the last lesson, that what is a condition for the validity is those things that if they weren't there, the marriage would be invalid. So if she doesn't give her permission, then the marriage is invalid. If they don't have witnesses, the marriage is invalid. If she doesn't have a wali, the marriage is invalid. Okay? So if it doesn't make the marriage invalid, then it can still happen even though it is considered to be makruh. Okay? Or less preferred, if not makruh. Continue.
Naam. To illustrate, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed Fatima bint Qais to marry Usama ibn Zayd, so their marriage was consummated due to the Prophet's command, regardless of their inequality. Yet equivalence is still regarded as a condition required for a spouse's commitment to the marriage agreement.
Just going back to the last case, sometimes you have people who were born in a different caste system, but they emit the qualities of princes and kings. So the human factor can transcend that. So a person's beginnings doesn't mean that's his lot in life. He can transcend that. And when that is noticed, then, you know, everybody accepts it. Continue. Go back to the last thing.
Naam. Yet, kufuwa is still regarded as a condition required for a spouse's commitment to the marriage agreement. For example, if a woman was given in marriage to someone who is not a suitable match for her, she or any of her legal guardians who do not consent to such an inequality may cancel the marriage contract. At the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it happened that a man married his daughter to his nephew in order to raise the latter's meanness and low status. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her the right of option whether to stay with him or to be separated. Still, some scholars maintain that kufuwa is a condition for the validity of marriage, such as Imam Ahmad, according to one of the opinions attributed to him. Sheikh Taqiyuddin said, according to the opinion of Imam Ahmad, if the husband turns out to be unequal to his wife, they are to be separated. Moreover, the guardian does not have the right to marry the woman who is under the guardianship, i.e. daughter, sister, etc., to a man that is not a suitable match for her. Similarly, it is impermissible for a man or a woman to marry an unsuitable match. Also, according to Ahmad, kufuwa is not just like marital financial matters, such as the dowry, that the bride or any of her legal guardians may demand or disregard. Rather, it is a matter that has to be well considered.
Alhamdulillah, I like the way he said that it has to be well considered. And for this reason, we find that it's best that the family be involved in this. Okay? Go ahead, continue.
That's the end of the chapter.
Alhamdulillah, continue.
Naam. Sheikh, I just want to ask, what's not on this list here is culture. Is that true? Culture is not part of kufuwa.
No, and it's not officially. Okay, but it is a consideration, a huge consideration, and a lot of times you'll find ethnic groups not marrying outside of their ethnic group because of kufuwa. And they wouldn't be wrong, as this is something that can make a big deal. Other than that, we say that our culture is Islam, so there's a lot of similarities across the board. But there may be some cultural things that are particular to a group of people that may be strange to others. Like in Asia, you can kidnap your wife. Okay? And this is normal, to go and kidnap your wife. Even if she fights, even if she doesn't like it, they hold her hostage until she agrees to marry. Once she agrees, then the marriage is taking place. Other cultures that wouldn't go. They wouldn't consider that to be nice. Okay, so culture, even though we're all Muslims, does make a difference.
No, I see. Okay, to continue, chapter 5, unmarriageable women. Unmarriageable women are of two kinds. First, women eternally prohibited for one to marry. There are 14 kinds of them. 7 are prohibited due to blood relations, and 7 are prohibited due to other special reasons. They are pointed out in the verses, in the ayat numbers 22 and 23 of Surah An-Nisa, women. A.
Continue.
Women eternally prohibited for one to marry due to blood relations. 1. The mother, grandmothers, and on up. Allah exalted be He says what may mean. Prohibited to you for marriage are your mothers. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 23. 2. Daughters, granddaughters, daughters of granddaughters, and on down. Allah exalted be He says what may mean. Prohibited to you for marriage are your daughters. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 23. 3. Sisters. One is prohibited to marry one's sister, whether she is a full, paternal, or maternal sister. This is because Allah, exalted be He, reveals what may mean. Prohibited to you for marriage are your sisters. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 23.
Continue. 4.
Sisters' daughters, their sons or daughters' daughters, and on down. Allah, exalted be He, says what may mean. Prohibited to you for marriage are and your sisters' daughters. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 23.
So we're just talking about your nieces. You know, they call your sisters your nieces.
No. 6. Paternal aunts and 7. Maternal aunts. Allah, exalted be He, says what may mean. Prohibited to you for marriage are and your father's sisters, your mother's sisters. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 23.
Uncles and aunts. Keep it simple.
No. B. Women eternally prohibited for one to marry due to special reasons. 1. It is eternally prohibited for a man to remarry his ex-wife against whom he has sworn allegation of adultery and divorced by public imprecation. In this respect, Al-Jawzajani reported that Sahal ibn Sa'ad said what may mean, according to the Sunnah prophetic tradition, the husband and wife who swear allegation against each other, i.e. allegation of adultery sworn by the husband and allegation sworn by the wife in defense of her honor, are to be separated and never reunited. Al-Muwaffaq commented, we know none who has a different view. 2. The same categories of relatives who are prohibited for one to marry because of one's blood relations to them are also prohibited to one by foster suckling relations. Thus, women that are prohibited for marriage due to suckling are the same as those prohibited for marriage due to blood relations, such as women by whom one is breastfed or sisters through suckling.
And we've talked about this, you know, about the science behind this, as the woman can now produce the blood of that man. And so, you know, there is a jointure there. Okay, continue.
Allah, exalted be He, says what may mean. Prohibited to you for marriage are your milk mothers who nursed you, your sisters through nursing. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 23. In this regard, the Prophet ﷺ said what may mean, all things which become unlawful because of blood relations are unlawful because of the corresponding foster-suckling relations. Compiled by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. 3. The wives of one's father, the wives of one's grandfathers, and on up, are prohibited for one to marry as soon as the marriage contract of the father or grandfather, etc. is concluded. Allah, exalted be He, says what may mean, and do not marry those women whom your fathers married. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 22. 4. The wives of one's sons, the wives of one's grandsons, and on down, are prohibited for one to marry. Allah, exalted be He, says what may mean, and also prohibited are the wives of your sons, who are from your own loins. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 23. 5. The wife's mother, her grandmother, and on up are prohibited for one to marry as soon as the marriage contract between one and one's wife is concluded. Allah exalted be He says what may mean, prohibited to you for marriage are your wives' mothers. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 23.
So we understand the mother-in-law is part of that as well, as soon as the contract is made. Fadl.
No. 6. Daughter and granddaughters of one's wife, and on down, are prohibited for one to marry once he consummates the marriage with one's wife. Allah exalted be He says what may mean, prohibited to you for marriage are your stepdaughters under your guardianship, born of your wives, unto whom you have gone in. But if you have not gone in unto them, there is no sin upon you. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 23. After mentioning the women prohibited for one to marry, it will be more convenient to state the verse containing them as a whole once again. Allah exalted be He says what may mean, prohibited to you for marriage are your mothers, your daughters, your sisters, your father's sisters, your mother's sisters, your brother's daughters, your sister's daughters, your milk mothers who nursed you, your sisters through nursing, your wives' mothers, and your stepdaughters under your guardianship, born of your wives unto whom you have gone in. But if you have not gone in unto them, there is no sin upon you. And also prohibited are the wives of your sons who are from your own loins, and that you take in marriage two sisters simultaneously, except for what has already occurred. Indeed, Allah is ever forgiving and merciful. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 23.
So when you break this down, إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ, it doesn't mean that, you know, this is cool. It says that, okay, that's forgiven because it wasn't spoken of before. But now it is. People have to make a choice. Continue.
Naam. 2. Women temporarily prohibited for one to marry. They are of two kinds. A. Women prohibited for one to marry due to simultaneous marriage. It is prohibited for one to marry two sisters and have them as wives at the same time. Allah exalted be He says what may mean, prohibited to you that you take in marriage two sisters simultaneously. Quran, Sunnah An-Nisa, Ayah 23.
MashaAllah.
It's also prohibited to take in marriage a woman and her paternal or maternal aunt at the same time. This is because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said what may mean, a man is prohibited to marry both a woman and her paternal aunt or a woman and her maternal aunt at the same time. Compiled by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ showed the idea behind such prohibition, as he said, if you did so, then you would sever your ties of kinship. This is because fellow wives usually feel jealous towards each other, so if they were relatives, such a marriage would cause severing of the ties of their kinship. However, if a woman is divorced and her prescribed waiting period is over, her sister and her paternal or maternal aunt become lawful for her ex-husband. Her sister and her paternal or maternal aunt become lawful for her ex-husband to marry, as the reason for prohibition is not there anymore. One is also prohibited to have more than four women as wives at the same time. This is because Allah, exalted be He, says what may mean, then marry those that please you of other women, two or three or four. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 3. The Prophet ﷺ ordered those new converts to Islam who had more than four wives under their authority to choose just four of them.
Now, imagine that. Fadl.
B. Women prohibited for one to marry due to contingent matters. It is prohibited to marry a widow or a divorced woman in her legal waiting period, for Allah, exalted be He, says what may mean, and do not determine to undertake a marriage contract until the decreed period reaches its end. Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 235.
Respect the consciousness that she's still in the marriage, even afterwards. Okay? Let it get out of her system.
The idea behind such prohibition is that the widow or the divorced woman might be pregnant, which might lead to lineal confusion and intermingling. It is also prohibited for one to marry a woman who has committed zina, adultery, or fornication, if one knows about it until she repents and her waiting period is over. Allah exalted be He says what may mean, and none marries her except a fornicator or a polytheist, and that, i.e. marriage to such persons, has been unlawful to the believers. Quran, Surah An-Nur, Ayah 3. One is prohibited to remarry the woman whom he has divorced by three pronouncements of divorce until she validly gets married to another husband. Allah, exalted be He, says what may mean, divorce is twice. Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 229. Then Allah says what may mean, and if he has divorced her for the third time, then she is not lawful to him afterward, until after she marries a husband other than him. Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 230. It is prohibited for one to marry a muhram woman until she gets out of her state of ihram. Similarly, it is prohibited for a muhram man to conclude a marriage contract during the state of ihram, a state of ritual consecration during Hajj or Umrah. The Prophet
So during the time you're performing Umrah, you cannot talk to women and try to get to know them like that, okay?
Naam. The Prophet ﷺ said what may mean, a muhram must neither marry himself nor arrange the marriage of another one, nor should he make the proposal of marriage, compiled by the group of compilers except Al-Bukhari. A Muslim woman is prohibited to get married to a disbelieving or polytheistic man, for Allah, exalted be He, addresses Muslim women, saying what may mean, and do not marry polytheistic men to your women until they believe. Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 221. Likewise, a Muslim man is prohibited to marry a disbelieving or polytheistic woman. Allah, exalted be He, says what may mean, and do not marry polytheistic women until they believe. Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 221.
No. Barakallahu fikum.
Allah, exalted be He, also says what may mean, and hold not to marriage bonds with disbelieving women. Quran, Surah Al-Mumtahina, Ayah 10. However, the aforementioned ayah does not apply to Jewish or Christian free women, as it is permissible for a Muslim man to marry any of them. For Allah, exalted be He, addresses Muslim men, saying what may mean, and lawful in marriage are chaste women, from among those who were given the scripture before you. Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 5. Scholars unanimously agree that this verse is regarded as an exception of the general rule stated in the aforementioned two ayat, 2:221 and 60:10, which prohibit the marriage between disbelieving or polytheistic women and Muslim men. A free Muslim man is prohibited to marry a slave Muslim woman, as such a marriage causes his children to be slaves of his wife's master. It is permissible to marry a slave Muslim woman only when one fears committing fornication and one cannot afford marrying a free Muslim woman or afford the price of a slave woman to emancipate and marry her. Allah, exalted be He, says what may mean, and whoever among you cannot find the means to marry free, believing women, then he may marry from those whom your right hands possess of believing slave girls. This allowance is for him among you who fears affliction, i.e. sin. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 25. A slave is prohibited to marry his mistress, according to the consensus of Muslim scholars. This is because being a mistress of a slave contradicts being his wife, as the rights, duties, and rulings are different in each case. Similarly, a master is prohibited to marry his slave girl. This is because the contract of possessing a woman is stronger than that of marrying her, and a strong contract cannot be combined with a weaker one. Having sexual intercourse with one's slave girl has the same ruling as having sexual intercourse through a marriage contract, provided the aforementioned conditions are considered. In other words, those who are temporarily prohibited for one to marry, such as a widow or a divorced woman in her waiting period, a muhram woman, a female fornicator, or a woman whom one has divorced thrice, are prohibited for one to have sexual intercourse with as one's slave woman. This is because if a marriage contract is prohibited as a means of lawful sexual intercourse in such cases, then having sexual intercourse with one's slave woman with greater reason is prohibited in these cases as well.
Read it again.
The entire paragraph?
No, just the last sentence.
This is because if a marriage contract is prohibited as a means of lawful sexual intercourse in such cases, then having sexual intercourse with one slave woman, with greater reason, is prohibited in these cases as well.
I'm lost. Go back another two sentences. Let's start that again because I missed something.
Okay. Having sexual intercourse with one slave girl has the same ruling as having sexual intercourse through a marriage contract, provided the aforementioned conditions are considered. In other words, those who are temporarily prohibited for one to marry, such as a widow or a divorced woman in her waiting period, a muhrim woman, a female fornicator, or a woman who one has divorced thrice, are prohibited for one to have sexual intercourse with as one slave woman. This is because if a marriage contract is prohibited as a means of lawful sexual intercourse in such cases, then having sexual intercourse with one slave woman, with greater reason, is prohibited in these cases as well.
Okay, so they're saying, so the translation is kind of with greater reason. This is the part that was getting me. They're saying aula. They're saying that it is more, has more a right to be prohibited in this case. But there is a difference. There is a difference when it comes to a woman who is a slave girl and a non-Muslim and then has come to Islam. The ruling is different. Even if she was a Muzaniya Qabl before that, as soon as she comes and becomes a slave to ours, her life begins afresh. So she's not considered a Muzaniya or those things. The only one, and also if a woman is previously married and still married, but if she becomes through war a prisoner of the Muslims, then it doesn't make a difference if she's married, she's still a slave girl. That marriage does not count anymore. So this is why I was asking you to read it again, because there are different rulings for a woman as she comes into slavery, how she came into it, and when her situation is wiped away as whatever she did previously. Okay.
Okay, so you're saying that there's exceptions to this rule.
I'm saying yes, there's a lot of rules. And the only ones that's not exceptions to is this, what if he's blood related to them or she's his one of his relatives. I shouldn't say blood relatives. It's one of his relatives.
I see. Okay.
Continue.
That's the end of the chapter.
Okay, let's stop here because we just did two. And it's important to understand these relationships between the women and the men. And it's very important. It's very important to know these things, to be comfortable with them. Okay? Now, of course, your mother-in-law cannot be under you as a slave woman and you have intercourse with her. These are the ones that are strictly forbidden. But as I stated, the only lawful way to gain a slave is through, well, there's two ways actually. One way is through battle, okay, through battling the kuffar. And so if you took possession of your family members as they were battling the kuffar, then that's a different whole conversation about what's upon them. Does that make sense? What's upon them, what their rights are and their obligations.
Yes, sir. This is all this is very hypothetical in my mind. Like it's not really made real to me.
The only reason it's hypothetical because you're not thinking that a slave girl can actually be real. That's the only reason why it's hypothetical.
Okay.
And yeah, so that's, you know, until it's practiced, it doesn't seem to have a real reason. But alhamdulillah, I live over here and it has a reason. It has reality.
Okay.
Now, Hakata, that's it. I didn't have anything else to add.
Okay. Well, mashallah. We'll end here then. It was a short lesson today, but alhamdulillah, we made some good progress. But let's not rush things. If hadith, usul, and histories are still partially clouded in mysteries, then refrain yourself from speaking. For what can you teach? To have little knowledge and teach is to cheat. Go back to the graph and the knowledge within. There are 38 chapters to finish. Let's begin.